You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's message.
And we're going to zero in on verse 1. And here Paul begins to speak about our faith and how in reality our faith in Christ, it ought to guide our lives. It ought to show us the way we ought to go, because we're no longer ourselves. We belong to him now. Chapter 5, verse 1, if you're with me, say amen. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands," and he says eternal in the heavens. And listen, he talks about this tabernacle of our house, and he's talking about actually our physical bodies, that one day, and listen, sometimes we want to hear it, sometimes we don't want to hear it, but one day these bodies are going to wear out. They're just going to shut down and say, "Your time here on earth is over." Some leave early, some leave late. And listen, all that's in the hands of the Lord. But he's talking about these bodies. He says, "We're dissolved." He said, "We have a building." And look, for the believer, in regard to our faithfulness in Christ, I already know he's already set up a time when I'm going to leave. And not only that, but I've got not only a heavenly home, but I've got a resurrected body that's already waiting for me, because this one here can't make it. In fact, these bodies began dying from the moment we were born, and they just get worse and worse and worse. And look, I want this body to be in the best shape that it possibly can be in, but after a while, kind of like my old car out there, when it gets so many miles on it, after a while, it's going to shut down. It's going to shut down, and one day my body will as well. But I've got one, and by faith I believe, and I know I've got one already in the heavens. He says in verse 1 of chapter 5, "For we know," and Paul's saying we ought to know, "is if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house, look, not made of hands, in the heavenlies." And look, he's talking about the death again of a human vessel, but it's going to give me one. He's going to give me one that's suited for heavenly travel. In verse 2, he says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." And listen, he's talking about it, and Paul in particular was going through so much in his life here on this earth. He was beaten and battered, and look, he did no wrong. All he did was preach Christ. He was jailed. He was left for dead. He was stoned. And after a while, look, even Paul the apostle, he gets tired sometimes. And he's talking about the things that he go, and even the things that we go through. And he said that "for in this we groan earnestly." Look, there was a time, and I was just talking to this young fellow who's stationed in Hawaii. When I was stationed in Hawaii, man, I wake up in the morning. At that age, man, I jump right up and go do whatever I was going to do. Didn't even think about it. No aches, no pains, no nothing. But now that I jump up, I can jump up like that if I want to, but I ain't going too far. And I better wait and get my balance first, because as we grow older, our bodies begin to break down. And listen, there are times when we groan. And listen, because we know, and he's saying by faith, the believer ought to know, that we have a home in heaven. I got to tell you, with some of the things that we go through, I know many of you have gone through surgeries, many of you have gone through heartaches, many of you have lost some loved ones, and after a while, you get to a place where, Lord, I know what I got in heaven. And listen, it's not a death wish, but it becomes an eternal life wish. I know what's waiting for me. And Paul's saying, "Look, Lord, if you want to take me right now, I'm okay with that." And though it would be good for him, better for him, and in a lot of cases even better for us, he knows that it's more fruitful for him to stay, because there are still some folk that he needs to minister to. And listen, there are still some work that God has for us on this side as well. He says, "For in this we groan," verse 2, "earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." He goes on, "if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked." And listen, he says that, and it might be a wee bit in the King James hard to understand, but what he is saying is that many times you'll see a movie, and they'll show somebody that dies, and this spirit is just floating around. He's visiting with them on earth, and he's going back and forth to heaven. He goes in. No, when we leave here, our home is in heaven. We'll have a spiritual body that's set for that. And once we get there, we're not coming back here. So he's saying that we're going to be clothed in God's righteousness fully, and we won't just simply be floating around, oh, I don't know where I'm going. No, that's Hollywood. The reality, or God's truth, says we'll be with him in heaven. And that's the blessing. That's a blessing for the believer. Again, why many times heaven looks very good, especially when you're going through something. He says in verse 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. We will be clothed in God's righteousness. He says, for in verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle, again in this body, do groan, being burdened, not, he says, that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that, look, mortality might be swallowed up of life. And listen, he's talking about out of these earthen bodies, and into our spiritual body, and never have to worry about aches and pains and worries and feeling bad or whatever. Because when we leave here and we're with Christ, that ends all agony, all sin, even thoughts of sin. And Brother Greg was talking this morning in regard to the wars and rumors of wars. And a lot of times that stuff cuts hard to y'all, cuts close to your heart. And it agonizes you, but when we're there, hallelujah, we won't have to worry about that anymore. And he also said that we're on the winning side. And by the way, we have already won. And while he has us here, we simply serve him. And by the way, though my body aches, I'm not working in my own power anyhow. I'm working in the power of the Lord. And I do what I do in his strength and in his power until he says I don't do it no more. So no more concerns or no worries about when I'm leaving, when he says it's time I'm going. Until then, hallelujah, Lord, let's stay on the battlefield. Let's do what you've called me to do. Amen. He says in verse 5, now he that have wrought for us, or wrought us, it says, for the self same thing as God. In other words, God has us. He paid for us. It says, who also have given us, look what he says, unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And listen, he's saying that God's Spirit, who has been placed in the life and in the heart, of, in the lifespan of every believer, that he's given us his best. He didn't give us a second-class spirit or second-class angel. He gave us his Holy Spirit, who is part of the Godhead. And listen, because of him, we know that with him, we can do all things. Anything he's called you to do, he's already equipped you to do it. And he said that you're going to be able to do it because you have my Spirit. And no, in of our own strength, can't do nothing. But in the strength of the Lord, bring it on. In the strength of the Lord, man, I get up in the morning, I don't feel like it, but you know the Holy Spirit lives in me. He said, come on, Brother Ralph, I'll take you. And he does that. And he blesses me there. And he helps me to understand that I'm with him, that he's with me no matter what I do. And yes, sometimes things happen. Sometimes we get sick. Sometimes we have heartaches. Sometimes we're ailing. Sometimes things don't go the way we wanted them to go. But guess what? God has us and is going the way he wants it to go. And to God be the glory every single day of my life. And by faith, I'm believing that. I'm believing he has me. He's holding me. He's keeping me. And indeed, he is blessing me. And by the way, not just me, he's blessing you as well. He says in verse 5, now he that has wrought us for the self same thing as God, who also has given us the earnest of his Spirit. In other words, the best he's got, he gave it to us. And verse 6 says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. In other words, guys, he blesses us here on earth. We have his Spirit, and living on earth is okay, only because of the Lord. But I also know I got something waiting on me. And guess what? That ain't no pipe dream. That's not my imagination. That's real when that time comes. He goes on. At the end of verse 6, he says, in the body we are absent from the Lord. He says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And guys, I believe everything that God says in his word. And listen, I don't try to convince you of it, but I ask the Lord to help you to understand by faith that because I have his spirit, that what he's saying is so. You might tell me something and I might kind of believe it, but when God tells me something, oh man, I believe it. And I just simply wait and bask in his glory until he brings that thing to pass. Because he already called it and it's already a done deal. I'm just in time waiting for him to bring that to pass, either in time or in eternity. He says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 7. And by the way, we believe in that faith that he's given us. In verse 8, he says, for we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And what Paul is saying, that for the believer, even for him, while he is on earth, that's really the best thing for him. But he knows that it's more fruitful and beneficial if he stays and simply do what God has called him to do. And yes, he's going to go through some things. Yes, you're going to go through some things. But he still has us here for a reason and for a purpose. And that is to be a blessing to the kingdom. Hallelujah. He says in verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And listen, he's saying, whether I'm on earth, I'm going to give it my all. If I go to heaven, God's gave me his all. In verse 10, he says, for we must all appear, and this is really where I was trying to get to, before the judgment seat of Christ. And again, what he is talking about in Romans, this bema seat that has to do with our works. He says that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. And again, judgment for our works. And look, there might be some things I did that I took credit for. And in reality, because I took credit for it, it wasn't to God be the glory, it was to Brother Ralph be the glory. And if he was going to give me a crown, I'll get none for that one. But again, speaking about our works, he says, knowing. Thank you, Lord. In verse 11, therefore the terror of the Lord, and he says the terror here, and he's talking about the sincereness or the reverence of the Lord. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but are made manifest unto God. And Paul says, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. In other words, guys, in the things that we do, God already knows. He sees it. It's manifested before him. He knows whether or not it was ours or his, or we gave him the glory. And Paul's saying to this church at Corinth, and I hope that you guys see something godly in me. I hope that I'm doing right by my Lord. And look, if we do right by him, it's going to be a blessing to man anyway. I was sharing with my wife the other day. I went to the doctor. Had a doctor's appointment. Had a physical, yearly physical. And so I'm laying up there, and they're doing an electrocardiogram of my heart. So as soon as I walk in the office, the woman that called me, the nurse that called me, I'm looking at her, man, she just looks so troubled. And I couldn't hardly not look at her because she just looked so troubled. She wasn't crying or anything. She just did. And that's the discernment that God had given me on that day. And so I'm laying on this table, and we just chit-chat. And finally, I said, how is your life? And she said, what do you mean? I said, how's your life outside of this place? And instantly you could see her countenance change. The tears welled up in her eyes. And she said, not so good. And I said, well, I'm not going to myself. I'm not going to say anything else. God felt like she might start crying. She's in the office. The doctor comes in, that kind of thing. So she's doing a cardiogram. And just like somebody sitting in a confessional somewhere, she just starts telling me about her life, her husband and her kids and how this is not working. I mean, rapid fire. She started and just couldn't stop and was going on and on and on. I'm just saying yes and yes and yes. And so finally, I got a chance to talk to her about the Lord. And listen, she told me that she walked away from the Lord because her mother died prematurely, and she was mad at God. I mean, all these things were going on. Listen, we're in this little room, and I had a whole lot of time to say a lot of things. So I give her God's word. I talk to her about that God so loves her, and different various things. I don't even know all of what I said, but what I do know is that she heard, I believe, from the Lord through me that day. Now, those works I did, prayerfully, that was the Lord leading me. And it wasn't me trying to look good in somebody else's eyes. And he blessed, and he ministered, and he allowed her to be able to hear some things probably that she really needed to hear. And I thank God for that. And she left the room, and she came back. And when she left the room, I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and just pray for her while I'm waiting for the doctor. So I'm sitting there praying. Then she comes back, and she said, my breathalyzer, it wasn't a breathalyzer, this thing you breathe. And she said, all my numbers left. I don't know what happened. You're going to have to do it again. And I said, I know what happened. The Lord brought you back here because he wanted you to know I'm praying for you right now, and that the Lord really loves you, and he wants you back in the fold. Of course, she started cracking up again, didn't quite cry, but was cracking up. And so she left. She just kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I said, you need to thank the Lord. And I said, by the way, I said, look, you don't know me from Adam, but I'd like to send you some things about the Lord and maybe help you out some. And I said, would you give me your address? And she had already written it down, so she gave it to me. And so the ministry blessed her with something, with a gift card and that kind of thing, and some tracks to help her along the way. And I might not ever see her again, but I believe the Lord used me to say something to that young lady. I pray it was his work and not my work. In fact, I know it was his work. And again, he talks about this judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. And when the Lord opens the door for you to do something or do a work for him, guys, don't shy away. Don't pull back. And a lot of times you're not going to know what to say. Let him fill your mouth. Let him fill your heart. And he'll give you what to say. And it won't be your work. It'll be his work. And a lot of times we come back later and say, I should have said something. And, oh, man, I should have prayed. Or I should have. No, don't, especially in the times we're in right now, don't hold back. When you got the gun, the spiritual gun, cock, let it fly. Because the souls, hallelujah, that might go to heaven or might go to hell. And we want our witness to account for the goodness of God. And we want him to use us. And it's getting awful late out here, and we need to do what God has called us to do. Amen and amen. He says in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 5, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also, Paul says, are made manifest in your consciences. Flip back with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 14. Thank you, Lord. And look at verse 10. Thank you, Jesus. And Paul says here, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And listen, he's not just writing this just to write something. He's saying what God told him to write. And guys, even those that are mocking God today, even those that don't want no part of your Jesus, even those that say it don't matter, or you can believe any kind of way you want, he said that every knee will bow and every tongue is going to confess. And look, you would want to do it on this side. Because if you get to the other side and you confess it, you will confess it. Paul just said you will. God said through Paul you will. And if you get to the other side and confess it, it's too late. And if he's speaking to your heart, then please let God have his way. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us, he says, shall give an account of himself to God. And listen, he's reiterating what he said in verse 11. He's saying that we are actually standing before him. And guys, the worst thing I think that anybody can hear, if they're going to church every Sunday and they're doing this kind of works and doing that kind of works, and in their heart they never really knew Jesus Christ, and they stand before him and he tells them, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." You don't want to hear that. Because when you depart, you're going to hell. And ain't no other way to say it. So get it right on this side. Make sure you're right on this side. Make sure you're on the right side of Jesus Christ in regard to salvation while it is called today. He says in verse 13, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore." And he's talking about that idle judging for things that really don't make any difference, things that are not sinful. And by the way, before I move forward, there is righteous judgment. If I see you doing wrong, if I love you, I need to let you know that what you're doing is wrong. And that's not me judging you. That's me telling you what God says. And God has already judged sin. And if you're living in sin, it's my job to let you know where you are and you're in a dangerous place. So he's not talking about that kind of judgment. He says, "Let us therefore judge," or not judge, or "let us not," he says, "therefore judge one another anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block on occasion to fall in his brother's way." In other words, your freedoms might cause somebody else to stumble. And what Paul is saying is that we should not do that. He says, "I know," in verse 14, "and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean." He goes on, in other words, his conscience is telling him he hadn't grown to the place where you are. He says in verse 15, "But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat," it says, "now walkest thou not charitably," and he's talking about in love, it says, "destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died." And look, me and my wife were just talking about that the other day, yesterday, that there are some folk that feel like they had a freedom that they can drink and that kind of thing. And they want to do it in front of somebody who's not there, and it's going to cause them issues. Years ago, man, as a young Christian, in fact, I was a babe in Christ, just got saved. And somebody invited me to a fellowship, a Christian fellowship. And so I said, okay, yeah, I didn't know, you know, what Christianity was all about. So I went. And so I go in the door, and one of the guys I already knew, and so the host of the fellowship, he walked up to me, he said, "Now, keep in mind, I just got delivered from alcoholism, years of alcoholism." And the brother walks up to me, he says, "Brother Ralph, you want a beer?" So I'm looking at him, and I said, "Man, I ain't know Christians can drink." I'm saying this to myself. I said, "But I see these guys are drinking beer, so it must be okay. They're more mature than I am." So he said, "Do you want a beer?" I said, "Sure." And so I drank that beer, and then I drank another. And then I drank another. And listen, all of them were going around. And in reality, they shouldn't have had it there. Me being a babe in Christ, I didn't know one thing from another. But his freedom, if indeed that's what it was, caused this brother to go back to drinking. And it caused me to stumble. And Paul is saying, God's saying through Paul, that our freedoms, if we feel like we got a certain freedom, we don't need to do it in front of somebody that might cause them to stumble. And what they did at that fellowship, it kind of messed me up, took me back to something I should not have been in the very beginning anyhow, and took me back, and it caused me to stumble. And that's exactly what he's talking about. Paul goes on, in fact, he says in verse 16, "Let not then your good be evil spoken of." And I get it, there's some folk that'll drink a glass of wine with their supper. In their hearts, they feel like that's okay. It's not okay for me. God told me a long time ago, I can't drink, period. And I'm going to abide to that. And so someone who drinks and doing it in front of me is going to cause me problems. I doubt if I would go back to it now, but it even at the very least make me think about it. Verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And listen, not just joy for me, but joy for you as well. And if my freedoms are going to take away your joys, then I can put my freedoms on the back burner for a moment. He says in verse 18, "But he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." And he's talking about in regard to us being here on time, that we're serving and living in a way that's pleasing God, and it ought to be that way always. And look, the freedoms that you had, if God touches your heart and tells you that that's not really a freedom, then you need to shut that down as well. He says in verse 18, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith," he says, "one may edify one another." In other words, trying to build one another up as opposed to tearing somebody down. And look, we know all about tearing somebody down, but how about we learn to build up the body of Christ? He says in verse 20, "For meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth," look, "with offense." And he's saying if his conscience tells him, look, all his life I haven't eaten pork and you're serving pork, I feel bad if I don't eat it. But if I eat it, I feel like I'm doing God a disservice. How about we just don't serve it when we know someone who's weak in that area is around? "It is good," verse 21 says, "neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or made weak." And listen, just because it works for you, don't necessarily mean it's going to work for everybody. Amen. I'm going to close out this chapter, and he says here in verse 22, "Has thou faith? Have it to thyself before God." In other words, you feel free, you're able to do some things, then go ahead and do it. But do it with just you and God in your own home. He says, "Has thy faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth." In other words, partake of your non-sinning freedom apart from that weaker brother. "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith," he says, "is sin." And look, again, I can't drink. God's taken alcohol from me and told me specifically that I cannot. And by faith, I can't take one. If you're free to do it, then that's between you and the Lord. But for me, hallelujah. And by the way, my house, we're going to serve the Lord the way he tells us to serve him. Amen. God bless you. The Lord smile upon you, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this time of study that you bless us through this 14th chapter of the book of Romans. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus for each and every one that's here, Lord. I don't know exactly what everyone's going through, but you do. And I ask that you meet them at that need and bless them in a mighty and a special way. Lord, I already know you're going to be mindful of it, but please be mindful of those that are on our prayer list. And who's not on there, we're remembering Israel and the issues that they're going through right now, Father God. This is still part of Scripture unfolding, and not sure exactly what it is, but I know that it is. And Father, in regard to that, may it lead some of them or all of them to faith in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for all those that are gathered here on this day. Please touch and bless as you see fit, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his namesake. Let God's church say, amen. And amen. God bless, guys. And
you have been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. You also can email them at New Beginnings Lamp, LAMP, at gmail.com. Be with us again.